this infirmity, what was God's response to him? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength and my power is made perfect in your weakness. Today in the Johnstone household was one of those days where I was having a one-sided conversation with the Lord that went a lot like, oh, I need your grace today, God. Oh, I need your grace. Oh, I need, oh, Jesus, I need your grace. And the Lord brought to my remembrance, I believe it's James 4:6, where it said, God resisteth the proud, but give grace to the humble. And I thought, well, do I have pride problems, Lord? Is that, am I boastful here? And my house looks like Hurricane Sandy has come through it. Between the kitchen, the toddler, the baking. Is that what my problem is right now? And I was thinking about something that Brother Tony Bailey said years ago that completely, I guess, revolutionized the way that I think about humility. And he said that humility is not thinking less of yourself or thinking lower of yourself. It's simply not thinking about yourself, not taking your own feelings into consideration. And to approach something with humility then would to be to approach something not thinking about how this makes me feel right now or how I'm worried other people are going to perceive me because of this. And I think that oftentimes, if it's okay for me to tell you I have a pride problem, my pride I just call insecurity. And my insecurity, if I'm not careful, can become an idol if I put it before God. And I say, God, I can't do that. Or no, I don't tell God no. I just ignore him. I pretend like I didn't hear that. That was a Kaylee thought. That was from the devil. That was my husband. That wasn't Jesus. Because my insecurity may say, I don't want to do that. That doesn't feel good. That's not going to be okay. What if I say something stupid? What if I make myself look like a fool? I share that with you to say this. God is still working on me, even in this very moment. Don't tell my dad, but I wasn't going to come tonight. I was making cookies, and I was thinking, oh, if I could, I'll just get Nick to take Hadley, and I will stay home and finally get these cookies iced, and I will clean my kitchen. And then my dad called and said, hey, I want you to just share tonight, just a little something, take a couple minutes. And I thought... And the Lord said to me again, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. Who are you going to put first, Kaylee? Oh. This is something that I'm still working on. But I need the grace of God. I need the grace of God to operate in my life. I have so many weaknesses and I guess you could say so many insecurities. I wasn't going to share this, but if it's okay, I really am done. This is the very last thing I'm going to say because I told my dad, I only have one verse. If I could share with you, and maybe that this would somehow encourage you, one of my biggest insecurities, I have an older sister that has such an amazing voice. When she can sing and she can do things, and I've always told her, Lorraine, you should do that in church. We would practice things at home, and I would tell her, you should do that in church. And she'd be like, Kaylee, no. You have an amazing voice. Yet there's this thing in me that whenever Brother Kendrick plays that recording that he does after church, and I'm thinking, look, listen to all those beautiful voices, those beautiful people. And then the 26-year-old with a 50-year-old voice comes on, and I think, oh, shut it off, Mark. Shut it off. That's something that's an insecurity of mine. And people say such kind things to me. People do. People say very nice things to me. And my heart is a heart. I love to worship and I want to worship. But God's put me in a place where he's using me in an area that I have such a big insecurity because I know there are so many people that could do it so much better. I'm thankful for his grace, but can I share with you on the other side of that where God is exercising grace in my life? And that's with my daughter. I tell my mom this all the time, and I have this conversation with God, and it's, I want to be in the pew. I want to be worshiping. I want to be holding Hadley's hand and teaching her how to worship. And just a couple Sundays ago, God told me, Kaylee, open your eyes and look at Hadley. And she was down here dancing. And I thought, that's the grace of God, because Nick and I didn't do that. We didn't teach her to do that because I wasn't down here holding her hand. But God knew my heart. He knew the desire of my heart in raising our little girl. And as I continue to submit myself to him so that in my weakness, he can perfect his strength and he can create in me humility, he gives more grace. That's it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Praise God. I need a couple of readers. If you're a reader and you could read under this light out of your Bible, Brother Chamberlain, you one of them. 1 Kings chapter 17. Somebody else, raise your hand. Help me tonight in reading. I'm going to ask you to come up here and read off of from here. We're going to have it scrolling up behind you there, but quite a bit of content, Brother Nathan. Brother Chamberlain, why don't you come and start? At verse 1 of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, yeah.
In the microphone.
Certainly. Oh, that's difficult. Wait. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Oops. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath.
Stop.
And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as he was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according as, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, come back. And he said unto her, oops. Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him into his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth.
And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant unto the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it came to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he will slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with the bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that thou hast forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken.
It's a tag team thing, sorry. Oh, okay, 25.
And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even unto noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Huh. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, and he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel.
Almost sounds like comic book, doesn't it? A man stands before the king and said, it's not going to rain until I say so. Now, we have real perspective of this around here. We can't imagine anything stopping that. It seems to be a nonstop force. And then we see the acting out of this discourse of time as a result of the words that had been spoken of this man who now appears to be like a Superman. We see him living under the result of the words that he spoke and the stopping of the rain and the brooks drying up and all that took place through all that discourse. Now let's go to the book of James, chapter 5. James 5 and 13. Is any among you afflicted? You know, first we read the history book. And as believers, we wrap our heads around the idea that this happened. This is not a storybook. Fire fell from heaven as a man gave himself to worship of the one true God. Licked up the water from the trench. I mean, that's comic book in my mind. And so now we're in the New Testament, heading towards the book of Revelation, and we're going to have a reference to this. Is any sick among you, or any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Any merry, let him sing a psalm. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And now he gives us the proof. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. We went and read the supernatural record. We read and observed the mighty acts of the hand of God in the earth, working through the simplicity of a man. But now we've got to do a work in our own mind to rearrange the fact that he's not a comic book hero. He's not a fictitious movie star. He was a man subject to like passions, just like you and I. And this is James's point to us as believers. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. If you have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you shall say under yonder mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. I don't know what brings altogether the transition except by hearing the word of God. But the transition of going to prayer, I can remember the dimension of prayer in simply suggesting and appealing to God that hopefully something like what I read about in the Bible could happen. I remember that. And I don't know when that dimension changed, but it's changed. I don't know if you can pinpoint in your own life or even recognize that transition point, but there is a transition. There is a coming to a place of believing that I'm just going to go right back to him in prayer. I'm going to go appeal to him again. I'm going to do like the lady did that went before the unjust judge. And I'm going to say, avenge me of my adversary. Touch this situation, Lord Jesus. Heal this situation, Lord. I pray, interact with this situation, Lord. I'm bringing it back to you again, Father. I'm going to present it to you again. I'm going to present it to you again. I'm not being stubborn. I'm not being ignorant. I am exercising my faith that I'm going to keep appealing to you to express my faith to you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How much? Well, it's up to you. What can you and what will you believe God for as an individual? There's a man who works in a hotel that I frequent in Yakima that one day I observed, well, he's got pretty bad eczema. And, you know, I try not to look at him or stare at him. Sometimes it looked like all his skin was flaking off his body. And I looked at him one time and I thought, you know, I had a time in my life, I had about 10 months of that. I'm role-playing in my mind. I'm not speaking to him yet. I'm role-playing in my mind. That feels like an affliction to me. That's what I was saying in myself. Spiritually, when I looked at him, that felt like an affliction to me. Not a, what would you call it? Not a allergic reaction or some kind of a situation like that. And twice now, I've thought to myself, am I going to say something to this man? Is this the time to say something to this man? I want to say something to this man. I want to tell him that I experienced and came under that affliction at one time, and I just prayed until. And it was a 10-month period. I remember it. And then it lifted, and I knew it was gone. And so I thought, I want to talk to this man. I want to tell him. His name's Tony. Well, the other night, he was there again, and he was looking a little better, but he wasn't looking that good. And I found a reason to come back down to the lobby. And I asked him a question or something, and he said to me, he said, did you know about the, he's pointing to the newspaper, front page, shootings back in Connecticut. I said, oh, yeah, that's tragic. And boy, he just began to break up in his spirit. I swelled up, you know, and I could tell he was really, really hurting over it all. We talked just a little bit, but I wasn't sure still, is this the time for me to speak to him? And the next time I was, oh, it was the next morning, I'm down in the lobby. I thought, I'm going to ask this lady who was in charge. I spoke with Tony last night. Say, I was wondering about, you know, does he have real bad eczema? Oh, yeah. He and the other lady. I said, what other lady? And he mentioned the lady who's normally at the desk. They're both of Asian descent. And this is what she said to me. He is struggling between Buddhism and Christianity. And his father got ill, and so he felt like the best, the right thing to do would be to run back to the Buddhist temple and not be playing around with this Christianity that somehow, you know, that would help the matter. And she said that's when he broke out really bad. And I thought, oh, that sounds like an affliction to me. Why was I sharing all that with you? Oh, I told the lady, I said, I'm going to approach him. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him. I want to pray for him. And she said, well, be careful. I'm not supposed to say anything. And there's cameras all around us. Take him off in a corner somewhere. Don't do that here right in the lobby. I said, oh, I'll approach him from the side. I won't mention you. I don't have to. I've already been thinking about this for quite some time. I want my prayer to be effectual. However many times I need to process through this word of God to let it speak to my heart and my spirit, that brings my faith to the level that I'm going to approach this thing and I'm going to speak an effective word. That's us. That's who we are. We're not throwing out holy suggestions. You know, if it would please you. He wants to lead us to a deeper place than that. I was pleasantly surprised to receive an email from Sister Yaden just before church a couple of hours ago to say that she wasn't going to be here tonight, but she said, "My eyes are improving. Something is happening in my eyes. It makes me want to pursue it all the more." Don't back up. Don't let up. Don't say, "Oh, that's great. Yeah, we prayed for that." No, no, no. We stay right in at it. We stay right at it. Sometimes adults in experiencing various scenarios playing out with their own children, we watch the activity, we listen to the words that come out of their mouth, and we either call it, well, it's going well or it's not going well. And the highs and lows. I'm telling you, our prayer and our approach to God on a matter cannot be shaped by the highs and the lows, by the things that come out of their mouth. We've got to know and determine in faith, I know where I'm going with this. I know what I'm pursuing in this, and I'm not letting up. Too many promises in His Word. Why did He preserve all of this? Historic events, and then reference back to it. And talk to us about a man that was subject to like passions, just like you and I. Yet he prayed, and all nature responded and obeyed according to the direction that the Spirit of God had given to that man. Let's pray for a minute. Come on, let's stand up and pray for a minute. Let's wait upon God here for a minute. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Let that resonate in your spirit. There's no situation. There's nothing too hard for God. Let it resonate in your spirit and walk and embrace in the faith of it. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the promise of your word. Your forever settled word, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I give you praise and glory tonight, Lord Jesus. I give you praise and glory tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I thank you, Father. I praise your name, Jesus. I praise your name, Jesus. Let the boldness of your spirit be made manifest upon us, Lord. Let it tent upon our lives. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that a quick word, Father, that a quick word, Father, an effectual prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Go with God. Amen. God bless you. Go with God.